Blog Talk Radio.
Go lay down. Go lay down. Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. I'm going to give a bit of an overview today. From time to time, I just feel compelled to do that. I'm not sure why. It's just kind of the way things work with me. Edward Albert Meyer is a one-armed farmer from Switzerland. He lives in a tiny mountain village called Hinterschmidt-Ruti, which is about 52 minutes east of Zurich. He's a prophet. He's a teacher. His previous lifetimes, he's also been a prophet and a teacher. And one of the things he's been talking about is a potential Third World War. Some of that activity is described in Henoch prophecies. And allegedly, at least Alex Jones is saying, we more or less have declared war on Russia, which is absolutely beyond belief. I don't know much more than that. I do have a clip I'll be playing a little bit later. Billy has written over 40 books. He's written thousands of contact reports and hundreds of bulletins. His extraterrestrial contacts go back to the end of World War II, when he was a young boy in Switzerland, living in northern Switzerland in a place called Bulak. And Billy used to watch the bombers come over, the American bombers. And occasionally there'd be a bomber shot down. And Billy would also started to watch these strange craft that were appearing. For example, him and his father saw a very large disc hover near the steeple of his church when he was growing up in Bulak. Billy also watched strange lights in the night sky that looked like slow-moving stars, which he also called extraterrestrial craft. When he was a young boy, about 4 years old, he would climb out a lower window in his bedroom and look up at the beautiful starry night and be incredibly inspired by what he saw. Young Billy was getting impulses from the storage banks. We have storage banks of information in our universe, in our galaxy, in our solar system, in our associated to our planet. And as a young boy, he was very sensitive to these impulses. And he started to get memories that would come back from his previous personalities, and he would hear his own voice say, "Since ancient times, I've lived among the stars." And he started to understand that there was a superintelligence behind our universe, which he called the creation. And he realized that everything which exists in the whole universe is the manifestation of the might and the infinite and true love of the mighty universal consciousness. So Billy had a very unusual life growing up. He started to get these telepathic messages from an extraterrestrial human named Svath, who was nearly 1,000 years old. And Billy was told to go out into the forest and wait for Svath. And then out of the sky came a strange pear-shaped craft, which landed in a field nearby, and Billy walked over and he saw the man that he had seen before in his mental images, his teacher, his new mentor for the next 11 years, who would teach him about his previous lives and teach him about what he would be doing this life as a prophet and a teacher. So young Billy had a very unusual, difficult life because he had to start skipping school in order to continue these contacts with Svoth. And his father was very much a disciplinarian, and sometimes Billy would be beaten until he could neither sit nor stand. It was a difficult life, and he had a great friendship with Pastor Rudolph Zimmerman, who was also getting telepathic messages. Billy was concerned that he might have been losing his mind at first, and Pastor Zimmerman assured him that he was fine and that this was, in fact, a normal communications. Now, Svoth would sometimes take Billy up some 70,000 meters in the air, and he would teach Billy about his previous lifetimes when he had been Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And in these previous lives, Billy taught this ancient universal teaching called the teaching of the spirit. And in one of those previous personalities, he was the man called, the week today called Jeremiah. And Jeremiah would often look to the future, and Jeremiah made predictions rather than prophecies. And Jeremiah would say this repeating phrase, when the prophet of the new time comes, the people of the earth will be lovers of pleasure. When the prophet of the new time comes, the people of the earth will be overpopulated. When the prophet of the new time comes, the people of the earth will be lovers of money. One of the things that Svoth taught Billy was that everything in the whole universe is a oneness, a oneness which flows through all things, that all existence and all life is a oneness, and that the creation, the universal consciousness, is a oneness, and that our spirit forms are tiny fragments from this universal oneness. And that we all have the same purpose in life, and that's evolving our consciousness. Svoth transmitted a great knowledge to Billy. And at one point, in one of their contacts, he placed a device with many wires on Billy's head. And from this device, young Edward Albert Meyer got this great wellspring of knowledge. And what Svoth was doing was opening up the abilities of his previous personality. And Billy felt very unusual forces penetrating into him. And he suddenly knew events that would take place in the future. Svoth explained to him that certain abilities were being awakened within him because of this instrument. And these were abilities that he had gotten during his previous lifetimes that would help him during this difficult mission that was ahead of him. Billy's words contain a vibration which has an inner power which expresses his modesty and love for human beings. Billy's real name is Edward, which means guardian of the treasure. And he is known worldwide as Billy, sometimes as Beam. And what's different about this lifetime than his previous lifetimes is that now this teaching is going to be stored in written form, and it will eventually transform the human beings of this world, and it will awaken the human race out of a very deep sleep. And what is being taught is called creational truth, and it will bring about a worldwide movement related to peace, love, and freedom. So Billy started out with a very interesting lifetime, but also very, very difficult. One of the things that Sfath taught Billy was about something called spiritual telepathy, which enabled young Edward to get information down from a spiritual plane called Arahat Atharasata. So we go through many millions of years of incarnations, and eventually we end up in this spiritual plane. And as a young boy, Billy is getting information from the spiritual plane. And as I said earlier, the seven incarnations of the Meyer spirit form include the person that we call Henoch, Eliah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And I mentioned some of the prophecies of Jeremiah. There are also prophets of Henoch, who is also called Enoch. And some of the prophecies involve two civil wars, which are going to take place during our lifetimes, potentially. The potential breakup of the United States into five different areas. And we're already seeing it. I think this current election is a very spooky symbol of these strange changes that are ahead of us. Hopefully, Billy will be wrong about some of these things, because if that isn't true, then we've had some very difficult things to face. One of the strange things that is coming to our future relatively soon, something that's mentioned in the Henoch prophecies, is human cloning. And I've heard crazy rumors that there could be a clone of Hillary, who knows? But human cloning is the creation of a genetically identical copy of a human. And what they do is they can take from a cell, I think, and create a whole human copy from the cell. And this other human will have a spirit form and it will be another human being. So in Contact Report 202, it says that in not too distant a time, there will be this human cloning, and that there is already one, at least one clone human mutant that exists, that's been around for 6 years, and it's being kept behind closed doors in a secret laboratory. It's being kept for research purposes. Now, this is what Henoch, or Enoch, has to say about the human clones that are coming. He says, "The irresponsible politicians will unscrupulously exercise their power, assisted by scientists and obedient military forces serving them, who together hold a deadly scepter and will create clone-like beings who will be bred in a total lack of conscience and will be scientifically manipulated to become killer machines. Division by division and devoid of any feelings, they will destroy, murder, and annihilate everything. The military clones will gain their independence, and under their own management will bring death, devastation, destruction, and annihilation." So these are incredible prophecies, which I think are just now right around the corner. So it's really shocking to know that this is coming to a neighborhood near you soon, which is just, to me, a little mind-boggling. Let me talk a little bit about the phases of our lifetime. And when I mean our lifetime, I don't mean this material lifetime. But I'll talk a little bit about the law of reincarnation here from the bigger picture. The Meyer information explains that we spend 40 to 60 million years incarnating into a physical body. This includes time in the spiritual realm as well as the physical. And during that physical 40 to 60 million years, there are five distinct evolutionary steps that we go through. The Pleiaren are in the last stage, number five, before they will shift into a half-physical, half-spiritual state. We here on the Earth are in stage two, and the stages include primitive life, rational life, intelligent life, real life, life in creational wisdom. In the sixth stage, we will spend 56 million years incarnating into a half physical and a half spiritual body. That's in the sixth stage. And then when we get into the spiritual planes that I was described briefly earlier, like Arahat or Sada, we are in those spiritual planes for 2.9 billion years. Now, some things to think about in terms of your spirit form. First of all, what did Emmanuel say about the spirit? He said the spirit and the body are one, and that the body comes from the spirit, but it's a different form and type than our body. The spirit and the body are one, but the matter is different, is a little different. There's not a duality between our body and our spirit, which is just, to me, astounding again. Our spirit form is not able to think creatively, and it doesn't become fully conscious until it merges with creation. The human spirit can never enter into an animal or a plant. And there is neither a heaven nor a hell. There is a other realm where the spirit form works in between lifetimes. And in order for the spirit form to evolve, it creates the overall consciousness block in the spiritual realm. And the spirit form resides in our superior colliculus when we're in a material life. And the superior colliculus is in the middle brain. But it sends its energies throughout the entire body. The spirit form is not affected by anything in the material realm. Now, there is something called the Gemut, which regulates and looks after the spirit-based consciousness feelings and the spirit-based consciousness thoughts. So the spirit form has thoughts and feelings, and the Gemut controls those thoughts and feelings. It regulates those. And the spirit form only has neutral, positive thoughts, balanced thoughts, whereas our psyche, the psyche controls the thoughts and feelings of the material consciousness, but the psyche can be harmed, it can be injured, it can be insane, but your spirit form can never become insane. The spirit form is invulnerable. But the material consciousness alone can be creative. The spirit form cannot be creative. But it can also be, the material consciousness can be susceptible to illness. It can be a megalomaniac. It can be haughty. It can be arrogant. The spirit form cannot be harmed or injured by any disturbances or influences. I find that comforting in a strange way. And there's something called the swinging wave, which I've talked about before, which are these periodically built up magnetic fields, which can have tremendous might, which are controlled by the Gemut and passed on to the psyche. And that's where we get these people with tremendous abilities in their material consciousness. So the creation, the universal consciousness, the intelligence behind all things, in order for it to evolve, it creates a spirit form. And the spirit form needs the physical existence to evolve. The creation also creates everything in our universe. It expands for 155 trillion years, and then it contracts for 155 trillion years. And then it goes into a rest phase. You can think of the creation as the being and the non-being of life. It is immeasurable in its knowledge, but it continues to evolve. It is not perfect. Our universe is not perfect. It's only in the first stage of its evolution. The superintelligence behind all things is not what our religions call the Heavenly Father. There really is no such thing in that sense. Now, I talked briefly about this oneness of creation. Eventually, humanity will unite. We'll have a global language. Hopefully, it'll be something like German. And the oneness of creation, the human spirit. And I mentioned that the body comes from the spirit. It's a part of the spirit. And it is therefore one with the spirit. So they are not two. And the teachings state that there is a unity and not a duality between the body and the spirit. Everything emanates from a unity in creation. And one of the things that we need to learn is to embrace the power within ourselves. Because your spirit form has tremendous power. And this is one of the things that Emmanuel emphasized when he was here. He emphasized the tremendous power of the spirit within every man and woman. And this creational natural power is within all of us, and we need to embrace this power within ourselves and use it for yourself. And Billy describes it as an entrance within ourselves, something I'm still trying to wrap my mind around. So he says, and you'll find through this entrance into yourself, you will become your own source, because everything that gushes forth from you, you're thereby making visible for you yourself, and you recognize you yourself. And when this happens, you then strive for your own fulfillment and also fulfill the sense of life. You will be part of your own good and positive sense and word because you embrace the power within yourself to use it for yourself and can also release it outwardly into the world through actions and do good things. So this spirit form that we have has incredible abilities and incredible powers. And that's one of the things that Spoth taught Billy when Billy was a very young boy growing up in Bulak, Switzerland. Well, eventually, right around 1953, Billy was told that he would get a new teacher. And his new teacher was a woman named Asket. She came from a parallel universe to our universe called the Tao universe. And the Tao universe is, like our universe, 46 trillion years old. And Asket sent a ship, a robotic ship, to Switzerland that landed up on a hill. Billy climbed the hill, went into the ship, and the ship sped away at incredible speed. It became invisible, and Billy became invisible. The ship landed in Jordan. Billy got out of the ship, and Asket's craft came down. It kind of looked like a falling star, and when it landed, Billy had to wait half an hour, and then finally she stepped out and Billy introduced himself, and he got in the ship, and they went to the Great Pyramid. And Asket and Billy traveled far below the Great Pyramid through these old cubicle constructions far, far underground, a very, very long trip. And then finally, they got to this gigantic room where the light seemed to come from everywhere and yet nowhere. And then within this room, Billy saw an ancient spacecraft, smaller ships, guards standing around. At this point, Billy and Ascot are invisible, so they can't be seen. And Billy also sees three things on the floor there. And it was a cross, it was a crown of thorns, and it was a blood-encrusted nail. And later, Ascot would tell him that these were three perfect or almost perfect replicas that the Giza intelligences had made. They were three artifacts that were going to be used in this grand delusion against the Earth humanity, which had been happening periodically. These Giza intelligences had been doing this all the way back since the fall of Atlantis and Lemuria. The first one of these brutal dictators was a man named Eris the 11th, who had a son named Jehave, who had a son named Jehovan. Jehovan had a son named Erisame. Erisame went underground, and they kind of had to hide down there while they did these plans. They were trying to gain control of the Earth, and of the particularly of the Earth human. And they had this technology called telenotic impulses that they would use on the Earth peoples. Erisame was eventually taken out of power by a man named Jehovah, which the Meyer material says is the God of the Old Testament. Jehovah then was pushed out of power by Comegal the First, and then Comegal the Second took over. Now, in the beginning, these Giza intelligences had a very, very long lifespan. It would last many, many centuries. And so these brutal dictators, this lineage of dictators lasted for quite some time until they came to an end right near the 1970s. But when Billy was still a young boy, they were still around. In fact, through the Thule Society and through a man named Hermann Steinschneider, the Giza intelligences influenced Hitler. And they basically took over Hitler's mind. But otherwise, Hitler would have been a very positive leader. And the Plejaren were impulsing him and working to try to bring him forward as this great world leader. But the Giza intelligences kind of thwarted this whole thing, and things didn't quite work out the way they should have. In any case, Billy met with Ascot for quite some time, and his experience in the lair of the Giza intelligences made him want to study the religions of the world, not to be a member of these religions, but to kind of study them academically. And Billy went to India, and he studied in the Ashoka Ashram in India, where he met Phobal Chang, who was eventually going to be a UN diplomat. And she would eventually meet Billy and come to Switzerland, and where they reminisced with their mutual experiences, because they both saw Ascot while she was visiting Billy at the Ashoka Ashram. Billy and Ascot would often walk in the gardens, and the people saw her there, and they considered Ascot like a goddess, and her ship would often be hovering over the ashram. A very, very interesting situation. But eventually, after 11 years, Billy's contacts with Ascot came to an end. Billy had 11 years of a normal life. Eventually, he met with a woman named Semyase. Semyase was from the same people as Sloth. She was a Plejaren. But before I talk about sannyasa, I wanted to mention a little bit about what Askja had to say regarding our origins here on Earth. She said, "Since then, we again explored the expansions of your universe. And several centuries ago, we discovered your solar system and this world, whose inhabitants show a very old connection with the Pleiaren, as you name them, in which also evolved, also in form which pertains to our mission. To be precise, the centuries by your time reckoning line are 33, during which we were again able to travel and explore your universe. Through our incessant explorations, we again found this world, as well as also our original homeland, and the very distant descendants of those who from earliest times were the responsible ones who were relevant to the human life on this world, because a portion of the humans of the earth were not born here. Many are descendants of those who came out of the expanse of outer space, and indeed from the space that you name Lyra and Vega, in the Eye of God, the Ring Nebula. So a lot of people here on the earth came to the earth, millions in previous lifetimes came to the earth. They were part of these higher advanced civilizations. They died on the earth, and now they reincarnate into a more primitive society. And so now they have to kind of go through that evolution, that painful evolution again. And in the back of their mind, they're thinking, wow, this something isn't right here. So let me talk a little bit about human evolution on Earth, because while we had very advanced extraterrestrial humans here in the past, we also had a naturally evolving Earth human. About 9 to 12 million years ago, a life form started to evolve here on the Earth that had the ability for intelligence. This was the first humans start to appear, something along those lines. Now, human beings come from a mammal called Adicelia spatialis cromtoni. It's something just about a few inches long. It's an extinct genus of mammal from the late Triassic period, about 225 million years ago. And it's thought to be the common ancestor of all modern animals on the earth. So eventually we got primates, and then we got apes, which split into one direction, and we have humans, which went to another direction. Primate beings, respectively primary beings, come into being everywhere, out of which, on one hand, through further evolution, the human species develops. So the human species develops from primates. Now, at one time, hundreds of thousands of years ago, if not millions of years ago, there were three worlds in our solar system that supported life. One of them was Mars. In Contact Report 210, Mars is described by Patah. And Patah explained to Billy that Mars had larger amounts of water in its rivers than we now have on the Earth. In addition, he said that there were a thousandfold more water in the largest rivers of Mars than were on Earth. He says today, these rivers are covered up by sandstorms, dust, volcanic ash. I don't know if there's still rivers under there. I don't know if these waters have been lost, gone up into the atmosphere, or they're on the poles, or they're underground now. But in Contact Report 210, it says Let me read it here. It says, on Mars, there are always violently raging sandstorms, which, as Patah explained, often cover the entire planet. There, it's no wonder that enormous rivers of water or even canals were partially covered with sand, dust, and volcanic ash. So many of us here on the Earth, another group of humans, came from Mars. And the people that were on Mars came from the Sirius system. So I know this kind of gets convoluted, but let me continue here. In the future, we will colonize Mars again, according to Contact Report 251, and there will be 13 colonies of people on Mars. And at some point, there will be a very brutal war on Mars. Let me read this to you. Aggressions with Martian inhabitants will begin again and result in the actual launching of attacks on the 13 colonies of Mars. A very vicious and aggressive act takes place on our neighbor planet Mars when numerous spaceships will attack and completely annihilate the planet until even its substance is eliminated. That's part of the prophecies in Contact Report 251. Now, I know that part of the prophecies have been kind of negated because the Plaiarn have moved this destroyer comet out of the way. It will no longer be an issue in our solar system. So will this, in fact, still happen? I'm not sure. Briefly, I wanted to mention that technically advanced humans came from the Sirius system. They're called the Creator Overlords. They created a human race to do their fighting for them. They had a ramped up sense of aggression and only a 100-year lifespan. And they were used to fight their wars for them. I talked about clones earlier. And clones that will be used in warfare in Contact Report 215. These are somewhat similar to that. These people that I'm discussing have mixed their genetics with every human on Earth. Now we have this propensity for aggression. And ironically, supposedly, and I do know that Mr. Alex Jones has a little tendency towards theatrics, let's say theatrics sometimes. So I don't know how much of this is true, but I want to play for you a clip, and then I'll get, if we have a caller that wants to come on, I'm sorry I'm talking so long. I have a clip here that claims that as of now, the United States and Russia are in a state of war, so let me try to play this.
Ladies and gentlemen, these are the headlines I'm sitting here reading during the break, and it's surreal because I talk about it so much, and then the clock keeps ticking towards midnight, and the average American isn't even aware or concerned. Our military is, people that are informed are concerned, but here are the headlines. Reuters, Obama delays Syrian military options today on whether to start striking Syria, which Russia will say is an act of war. Russians warned nuclear war is imminent. This is mainstream newspapers I'm reading. Locate your nearest bunker. I mean, that's Reuters. These are real headlines I'm here reading to you. And remember 6 months ago, it was all funny when I was telling you this. This was in the Russian newspapers. And Russia, I guess, doesn't exist or something when I read out of the Moscow Times, to the average trendy. But this is serious. And, Roger, there's like an insanity in the air, it seems like. I mean, you've got Podesta with emails about wet work. You've got this other craziness going on. You've got this obsession with clowns and clown attacks. I mean, have we woken up in an insane asylum?
Well, we're in wag the dog territory. This is war as a pretext for stealing this election. You're right. The American people seem to be completely oblivious that we're likely to go to war in a conflict in which I can't find any inherent interest of ours, nor can I find friends on either side. I mean, Assad is financing Hezbollah. He's backed up by the Russians. On the other side, you have ISIS, backed up by the Saudis. I think they proved on 9/11 that they're not friends of ours. We don't have any friends. This is really about what it's about, different sects of Islam. It's about Wahhabism, really.
So are we seeing some of these Henoch prophecies starting to be fulfilled? I'm not sure. I do have a caller. I wanted to see if the caller is... I have a couple callers. So let me check first. 803, are you just listening?
Oh, no, this is me, Mark Solon.
Hey, Solon, how you doing? You got some interesting stuff for us tonight?
Well, I do want to comment on that last clip with Alex Jones. Now, you notice how he said he got that clip from the mainstream media, and the clip was talking about that they were heading for bunkers or something. And I do know that recently Russia was doing a like a drill for if a nuclear strike was to happen for like civil defense. And
crazy,
I kind of think that maybe he took that and the mainstream media spun with it, because I'm sure they want a war. And this is kind of where Alex Jones is fear-mongering. But that's just my take. I don't know if that's true or not. I didn't see this article, but he did say he got something from the mainstream media, and that's kind of the first thing I'm thinking here.
You know, that's interesting. I like the term you said, fear-mongering. Is he fear-mongering? I think people should call him on that, because that's a pretty huge statement.
Oh, yeah, that's – well, see, I've listened to him for a while, and just one day that's just basically a guy. He would – we understand how the emotions run. And, well, I should say in the Psyche book, it even states that we remember the negative more, and that just seems to be what even the media itself concentrates on, so we pay more attention. And I think that's just kind of what he's doing as well, since he's – but he takes a different spin on it. That's my take on it.
I think that's a very interesting take. I listen to Alex a lot, and I think, I think sometimes he just gets too theatrical. He kind of gets carried away or something. But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, crazy.
You know, he did a great interview on Coast to Coast, because George Norrie said that, no one's ever really seen his story. And I would say that Alex Jones seemed to have started off with trying to expose corruption. And
right.
I think that maybe he's gotten blindsided, where now he thinks that, it's everywhere. And I'm not saying it isn't, but I don't know. I just kind of see that him as, going too far.
Yeah,
he said a lot of stuff in the past that's been false, for sure.
Now, did you have anything about the Meyer material you wanted to share?
No. Well, I mean, I guess I kind of do. It definitely seems that we're going to go to Mars. I know you had talked about that.
Right.
And that seems to be, in the 251, it talks a lot about it, of course, even like it being we building it back up and then destroying it, getting invaded by like outsiders, it seems like.
I wonder about what is it, the company called SpaceX with Elon Musk, the guy that says he's going to Mars. And I just wonder about this whole thing, and I'm trying to, make sense out of it. Are they really advanced enough to make it is what I'm wondering,
Well, I do know that he has a huge passion to do it and the drive, apparently also the money. It just seems weird that it's a man creating electric cars, but yet thinks that we need to use gas in order to go up there. But of course, he is a physics person, and maybe he understands more than I do on this. So, I think he does understand that we need a different route to go about this. So, I do want to state that he does say the first thing that they'd use to go to Mars will be like androids or something, he said. And I know in the Meyer prophecies it states that the first mission to go to Mars will be a failure.
Really?
So if that's the case, maybe we won't lose people on the first mission.
Well, that is that is yeah. that in contact report 251?
Yes, yes, I believe so, or it's in 215, but I believe it's in 251 where we first go to. It will be the first one will be a failure, and he says the second one will be a success, but it'll have complications.
Isn't it incredible that hundreds of thousands of years ago or millions of years ago that there were human civilizations on Mars?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think Mauna was an incredible story as well, you know, our asteroid belt.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how much you know about that. Or actually, you've had stories on it, haven't you, on your show?
Yeah, you know, there is so much in that contact report 251 that I could just spend a lot more time on. You know, I was looking at the rise of the robot people again, and one thing I had missed, and this is crazy, I had always thought that they had their arms and legs removed and attached to machines, these robot people, which maybe they did, maybe it's a but, and this is what I had missed, is that there was a genetic and intentional, and I'm going to have to read it again, but what I thought I read today was they intentionally did genetic engineering so that the kids would be born without arms and legs and their nerves exposed so they could attach them to machinery. And this just seems so twisted and gross, disgusting to me.
Not really. If you look at today, more people are interested in virtual reality than they are in like reality.
In other words, you're saying we're being led down that path already.
Oh, yeah. I think it's easy to see. But I would say when I was a younger boy, if you would have told me about this, I would be signing up for it. Knowing what I know today, I would not. And I think it just comes down to... Oh, yeah. Oh, man, yeah. You're talking about putting a computer chip in my head. Hey.
You got to be kidding me, man. So I think that's what, and a lot of kids like that, they're just that way. They want to sign up for it. They think it's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's just that we don't see it being a problem later on down the road. You know, as I was seeing this, and I had gotten out of all this later on. Especially when I had, you know, saw more of nature, I think that's kind of the problem is that we're, if you look in the cities, there's not a lot of nature. And therefore, you know, when you look at something that can, you know, you can develop something and, you know, grow from that, you know, I feel like we still have this creativeness in us and we don't happen to be able to do it with the natural way. So we end up going down the technological. That's my take on it.
And, you know, I don't think it's going to necessarily be a shortcut.
No.
You know, trying to merge with machines. I don't think it's going to be a shortcut.
Well, it does state that these, and I'm not trying to promote it at any point. I'm not for it, but it does state that these people will have in their consciousness.
Yes.
And I watched I think it was a clip of people who were pulling like remote control stuff with their mind, and the way he had to think inside of his mind, in the Meyer material, it's always about focusing and.
You're breaking up a little bit, I think.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You're breaking up a little. Go ahead, repeat what you were just saying about moving things with your mind or something like that.
There was a company that came out with this thing you put up your head, and it reads what fires off in the brain, and that's how it can control the robot to go either forward or backwards. And this is, to me, this, you know, I started to get the idea. I was kind of seeing how they were going to be able to develop quicker consciously because they were going to have to focus more in their mind in terms of being able to control these robotic things.
That is fascinating. So they were developing that portion of their mind faster than a normal Earth human.
Well, I would say this was still in its primitive stage, of course, but I'm just saying in 251 it talks about these people having, in order for this company in Russia to control these robots, it had to be, it was reading certain things being fired in the mind, and this is how I'm describing it. I can send you the link to that if you want.
Now, that was a company in Russia, you were saying?
Yeah, yes, it was.
Yeah. And what were they building exactly?
They were trying to actually build drones, but they didn't want to control them with the you know, the little gadgets. They wanted the people to be able to... And he was very focused. You could see how he was kind of focused in himself, and it was moving the thing. And of course, he was looking at it, of course, because you have to, you know, I don't know how it works in the mind, but it was reading certain signals that were happening in the mind and moved based off of this. And it seemed to be pretty finicky, but it was working. And it was kind of scary. 251 was talking about these higher consciousness abilities.
Let me read this here. It says, all of this will come into play barely 15 years after the aging gene is isolated and neutralized. So all of us have this aging gene right now, and if we didn't have it, we might live to be 1,000. But we'll continue here. When the human biologic aging process is largely surmounted and the related previous vicious genetic manipulation will be finally remedied, a looming new war will break out and last for approximately 40 years. Now, do you remember? I don't remember them saying that this war, whenever it is, would last for 40 years. This is scary.
Yeah, but we're also talking about like an interplanetary thing too. They're going to be on space stations. This isn't necessarily going to be people of Earth or on Earth, but these are going to be also be people on Earth and off of Earth. That's the way I took it because of the space stations they were going to be living in.
And it says, during this period or about 6 years prior, humans will be converted into machines, that is, robots, for the first time by connecting their nervous system to microscopic electric biologic gadgetry and machinery that will serve to guide them. And this will cause great problems about 85 years later when the now powerful scientists begin to play God, as they had done in earliest times, and will create hybrids between humans and animals through genetic alterations. And these new semi-humans will declare solidarity with the robotic humans. But before this transpires, another 80 years will pass after the creation of robotic humans, as I mentioned previously. With the creation of robotic humans, intelligent biologic electric machine-like robots will be constructed, and this is what you were saying. A gigantic space station will be built upon which a vast number of humans will live while the station travels around its orbit around the sun. So there'll be people living on the Earth, people living on Mars, and people living on this gigantic space station that it's going around the sun. That's pretty wild, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, apparently there's going to be multiple space stations. I think there's going to be one around Venus, if I remember correctly.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's weird. Now, I would say recently there was an article that came out and said that I think it was the U.S., said that they were going to have a space station in orbit. And I forgot, I don't know if there was a date, but basically this was in the works. This was in the plans. And so you're kind of looking at, you know, when I read this, I was like, oh, no.
And Ken in the chat room says they are already starting human testing with anti-aging DNA manipulation. You know, I think we're going to see some of this stuff. I really do. I think we're right on the verge of seeing some of this stuff. Now, I don't know if I'm happy about it or not.
Well, it's going to bring great – I mean, remember I was talking to you Friday about the fact that, you know, we talk about how we get old and, you know, there's so much I'm sure you want to do and there's so much I want to do. And being only to get, you know, to 100 years old, there's only but so much you could do in one lifetime with that. So there will be greatness that will come with being able to live longer.
Yeah. Can you imagine how much smarter you'd be after another 100 years? How much you'd learn?
Yeah. Well, you know, in the Way to Live, it talks about once you get to the age of 70 about how you basically live with these laws. And so it, and I, from, now I was told this, but I think the Pajarans only marry after the age of 70.
Yes.
So it's kind of interesting. Like, we look at life basically ending, like retirement age is that, and they're looking at life as beginning, in a certain sense of how we see it.
That's crazy. What a different perspective.
Of course.
Totally
yeah.
different.
We often,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's yeah. But yeah. So I'm, you know, Mars is, you know, in astrology, I don't know if you know much about astrology, but Mars in astrology is the warrior. It's the one all about war. And so for us to, you know, when I read these and I was reading what's going to happen to Mars and how, you know, it's going to start a war against Earth for its independence, and then it's going to get invaded and all these wars that was going to happen with it, I was like, it's no wonder that it got its name, Aries, you know, which is this warrior.
Exactly.
And then to read its future, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know, I'm kind of into astrology for various reasons, but they kind of caught my attention.
Well, Solon, we are almost out of time. We've got about 3 minutes left. Did you have any closing statements you wanted to make?
No, I guess not really. I guess I'd like to let everyone know that I am uploading your shows to YouTube. So
excellent. Yeah, folks, we've got some of these shows that I've done. Actually, quite a few, I think, Solon has uploaded to YouTube.
Yeah.
So if you can, they just type in Ohio Exopolitics and.
Yeah. It's on my channel, it's Skill Solon, but yeah, they should be able to find there. I mean, there's like 130 some videos now, so they should be able to find him.
Excellent.
By Ohio Exopolitics.
I appreciate it, Solon. Folks, you've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We'll catch you on Wednesday, the 19th of next week. I'll be speaking with Mary Joyce, talking about skyships over Cashiers, North Carolina. We'll see you then. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.